Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the listener, get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Hello, Melissa. How's everything going?
How are you, Morgan?
Outstanding. Thank you. Interesting guest today we have.
Probably one of my favorites. This one's going to be really interesting.
Ah, let's see how this thing goes.
Yeah.
All right.
We shall see. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You want to tell the folks who you are?
Sure. My name's Kevin Rogers. I'm a lieutenant with the police department. Been here 27 years.
27 years. And where are you now on the department?
Currently, I'm assigned to internal affairs.
And that, folks, is why this is going to be good.
I agree.
Now,
prior to internal affairs, obviously, you had a couple of assignments. Can you tell us where you've been in the agency?
I think I've covered pretty much every assignment there
okay.
is. Obviously, in 97, started in patrol. After that, I went to auto theft unit. Then I went to burglary. At the time, they were separate, where today they're combined, kind of.
Right.
At that time, they were separate. So then I went to burglary. Then I went to special victims. Then I got promoted to sergeant in 2008.
And did you go back to patrol when you were promoted?
I did. And I love patrol. To me, patrol is the greatest. I really enjoy it. You get to meet everybody while it's happening. You get to be out there with the citizens and the officers. So I think patrol is the spot to be.
And then from sergeant, you made your way to lieutenant.
I did. I had several stops along the way. After patrol, I did some time in property and evidence. Then I went to economic crimes. Then with economic crimes, I also supervised the auto theft unit and the pawn shop.
Okay.
Then I also inherited the fugitive unit. Then I went to fugitive full time. Then after fugitive, I went to the gang unit. Then I went to robbery. Then I went to homicide. Then I went back to the patrol division for about 2 months. And then I went back to internal affairs.
Wow, so you really have been a little bit of everywhere.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And here we are, internal affairs.
Here we are.
So let's back up just a little bit. Where are you from originally? Because you have a little bit of a southern accent.
I do. down south near New York.
New York, okay. All right, that's where you're originally from. What part of New York?
Yes, sir. Brooklyn, originally from Brooklyn.
Wow. So you've eaten some delicious pizzas, I imagine.
Yes. Very good. Very good pizza.
Yeah. And I understand correctly, you left Brooklyn eventually when you finished up school and you made your way towards the military.
I did. Back in 1990, I joined the Air Force. I did 7 years in the Air Force and left there in 97 and then came right from the Air Force right to the police department.
Wow. So you, was your last duty assignment in the U.S. Air Force locally? Is
yes.
that what brought you here?
Yes, it was over at Langley. I did about two and a half years there. I was assigned to what they call the Air Combat Command, the Command Guard, where I worked for three different four-star generals and 1 3-star general.
Fascinating. Yeah. Wow. Now, Melissa and I were doing a little research on you.
I can't wait.
Across an assignment that you had somewhere very secretive. Would you like to ask a question on that, Melissa?
I don't even know if I'm allowed to, but I do want to.
Go ahead. If the government
Area 51 in
yes.
Las Vegas or Nevada?
It's in the Nevada mountains.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yep.
Can you talk anything about that, or is that a no-no?
No, I think I can discuss a little bit.
Okay.
That was a very interesting assignment. The green guys are great. They're a lot of fun.
Okay.
They
All
can
right.
play some ball. I'll
oh,
tell
really?
You that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was with the F-117A, the stealth fighter. That was housed there since 1980. And then everybody learned of that fighter jet during Desert Storm. That's when it really made its appearance.
Okay.
There may have been some sightings or something of that nature along the West Coast.
Okay.
You know.
So it was kept under wraps while it was there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, maybe I'm being a little bit too forward, but have you ever ridden in a UFO?
I think it's too soon to say.
No, it's too soon to say. Okay. All right. Statute of limitations.
What we would do, we would fly out of the local airport, out of McCarran Airport, which is the Las Vegas International, and we would go to our site, So 1 week you're up there for 4 days, and then they come back to Vegas for three. The next week you go up there for three and come back for four.
So when most people catch the bus to work, you caught a plane to work?
Yes.
Absolutely incredible.
That's so cool.
That is so cool.
It was a lot of fun. Very interesting.
Do you have a favorite assignment that you've partaken in during your time here in the police department?
You know, I've been trying to think about which one did I like the most. Mm-hmm. I would have to start with Fugitive. That was my favorite. And then going to the gang unit. And then Homicide. Mm-hmm. You know, Homicide is a very difficult assignment. And the supervision and the detectives that work there are just incredible.
Right.
The compassion, the hours that they spend away from their families to try to bring some kind of a resolution to the families that have lost a loved one. It's just amazing, the dedication and the time that they put forth.
Yeah, I've heard you guys literally have to send some of those guys and girls home, like, after a crime scene. They won't just go home and get rest. Like, they'll go back to the office, and you're like, literally, you need to get some sleep. You need to get some rest.
There are times where you ask them, are you okay to drive home?
Yeah.
Because they're so tired, you know.
Well, they're very dogged in the pursuit of justice. I mean, they're you know, they just don't know how to stop. It's not in their DNA because they're so dedicated to their craft. All the respect in the world. Now, I will tell you, you probably won't mention it, but you've probably pursued some of the most dangerous criminals in the city of Newport News and outside of within the Hampton Roads, but outside of our jurisdiction, while you were in Fugitive, some very dangerous people.
Yes, we do. For some reason, a lot of the criminals, they tend to come to this area, the seven cities. Mm-hmm. You know, and at the time, we were part of the Fugitive Task Force with the U.S. Marshals. So we would, not only would we take upon the Newport News cases, but also some from out of state and other jurisdictions.
Wow. And now there's another generation of Rogers that has stepped forward. Am I correct?
There is. There is.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, my son.
Brian.
Yep. He's been on about 2 years now. It's kind of surreal. You know, when I watch him getting ready to go to work, I just kind of stare at him and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Because now I understand what other people go through. Mm-hmm. But it's very different when it's your son.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Yeah,
it's something he had talked about doing since he was young. I always knew he was going to do it.
Yeah,
you know, and I always let him make his choices, make his decision on what he wanted to do.
And he's a fine young man. Would you agree, Melissa?
I would. I had day four of core training with him last night.
Yes,
so
he was there.
It was so good to see him. Yeah.
Hard worker, too.
And you've known him for a long time, since he was little.
Yeah. I guess he was, one of his bus stops was in my beat for a little while when I was a patrol officer. So,
so
we love Brian.
Who pinned Brian's badge on when he graduated?
I did.
You did? That must have been absolutely exhilarating and frightening at the same time, knowing that your son was going to go from that academic environment of the academy to the application of what he learned. That had to be a roller coaster of emotions, I imagine.
It is. It's very emotional. I mean, all three of us do it daily. You know, we go to work and we don't worry about that because we're going to do the right thing. You know, we've been trained, and it's a whole different perspective when it's somebody that you love and that is going out there and you can't control it.
Especially
you can't be
kid.
There to help.
Yeah. Especially with your kid.
Yeah. You hope that he absorbed everything that there is about safety and security and all those things, and that when he's out there, he's practicing all of those things.
Yes.
So Melissa mentioned you were in internal affairs. Tough assignment. Tough assignment to be in, I imagine. Pretty stressful.
You know, when Chief Drew first brought me in to talk to me about going there, I didn't think I would enjoy it. When he and I talked, I told him, I don't know if I'm a good fit for that.
Right.
And we had a conversation, and he told me I would be a good fit. And I have to say, it's been a very rewarding assignment. It's not always about discipline. It's not always about getting, you know, seeing somebody get terminated. It's the coaching and the mentoring that is the biggest part. Sometimes just pulling somebody in and having a conversation with them and just saying, hey, could we have done something different or done something better?
Right, because not every error that a law enforcement officer makes rises to the level of termination. We I think I've mentioned this in a previous podcast, but you know, we're human beings. We do make mistakes. We make procedural mistakes. Sometimes we might get frustrated and say things that aren't very kind. I guess the important thing is that we own up to those mistakes, right? And when we come to see you, we do exactly that. And at that point, officers become, even when they make mistakes, they're salvageable. They just made a mistake. There's no reason to go above and beyond to discipline them when these things can be corrected. Now, obviously, we're held to a very, very, very high standard because we should be held to a high standard, right? We owe it to the American people, to the public we serve, specifically the citizens of Newport News. But we can rectify those mistakes by learning from it. And that sounds to me like what you are doing is you're teaching them how to do things better next time through mentorship.
Yes, sir. And it's it's very rewarding. You know, when they leave and they feel as if they were humanized. Yes, we make mistakes, like you said. The big thing is own up to it. Don't come up there, try to tell a story. Don't fabricate anything. Just tell what it is, you know, right. And we can work through it. Sometimes it's the training. Sometimes it's just having a conversation, you know, let them get their emotions out. And then kind of be that father figure to them. And explain, hey, let's try this next time. It may not always work, but let's put another tool on their belt to get them through the situation.
Sure. Have you had people come back later and say, hey, thanks, I appreciate that, LT?
I have. I've had somebody today come up to me and said, you're too nice to be in internal affairs. Because when you come in, we're not going to disrespect you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we're not going to yell at you. We're not going to be argumentative. We're not going to be accusatory. Sure. We're just going to have a conversation. Tell us what happened.
Sure.
And then we go over the video sometimes and we just, you know, point out different things.
Sure. And I guess in a way, you are the quality assurance inspector for the police department. You make sure that we do things procedurally right, ethically right, and that we stay on track.
Correct.
And that is necessary because in the end, right, and I don't want to get on my soapbox, but in the end, we as law enforcement officers serve people. And therefore, we answer to the people that we serve. And we have to do business correctly all the time. Because
yes.
we don't always get second chances. But if you do things right and you do make a mistake, hey, own it. Just like anything else in life, own it and move forward. So are you a football fan?
Well, I like college football.
You like college football?
Yes.
Okay.
I like college sports in general.
Yeah. Because you were going to wear a special shirt today.
I was supposed to wear my Fighting Irish.
Okay.
Notre Dame. But, you know, the family team is the Giants.
Oh,
sorry to hear that.
We had no choice.
Gosh.
Dad made it happen.
Oh, is that right?
From birth, huh?
Yes. We were going to be fans of the Giants regardless.
Right.
I do have two brothers that strayed. I'm not sure where they are now, but they did stray. One is a Washington fan, and the other is a 49ers.
Okay. Melissa, you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Still didn't get it right. They strayed, and they still didn't get it right. Jeez.
Yeah. Look what I wore for my
wife
today.
Listen, anything for the wife. I'll give you that today because it's for her.
That sounds good. So Kevin, 27 years, going strong. What keeps you coming to work every day?
I love what I'm doing. You know, we're a customer-oriented base, okay? And that's internal and external. I'm a firm believer in how we treat each other internally directly reflects on how we're going to treat the citizens. You know, if we don't treat each other right inside, and then I expect you to go out and be nice and courteous and respectful. So it starts internally, and that's what I pride myself in, is taking care of people, treating them right, and doing what's right all the time, not just because you have to. It's because it's coming from the heart and where it should be.
It's in your DNA. You want to.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Now, how did I think there's an interesting story on how you met Melissa. Am I correct?
There is.
Oh, would you like to tell that to the folks?
Well, I think we were in the academy or just prior to.
I was in the academy.
We had a presidential visit. And we were assigned to a detail together.
Okay.
And from the way I recall the situation, it was very interesting. We had a great conversation. Of course, it was raining that day as normal, you know. So now it was time to stop the traffic. So, of course, we're in our Class A's, and I'm wearing my Claude France shoes. And when you don't wear them often,
yes,
they tend to crack.
Right.
So I stepped out into the puddle and almost drowned. my shoes just fell apart in the puddle. I get back in, and I'm telling her, this is not what you should look like, nor should it happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, Captain, I've watched a few of these sessions, and I couldn't help but notice that normally you're the brunt of the stories, where people recall the stories, that, and they kind of zingers on you.
Yeah.
Did Melissa ever tell you the story that she almost got me killed in North Carolina?
No, but I am ready to listen to what you have to say.
I cannot believe you're gonna...
Please do, please.
Yes.
So, let's start.
What I'll do is I'll talk about the beginning aspect of it, but I'll allow her to pick it up, you know, when I stop.
Sure.
So at the time, I was the supervisor of the auto theft unit.
And okay.
Melissa was a new detective, and we had a lot of motorcycle thefts going on in the city. And she developed a lead, and we were going to go and investigate it. And we had a small unit, so I was kind of hands-on with her, and I was going to go with her. And it took us to North Carolina.
All right.
So beautiful day. Off we go. Down in North Carolina, and I'll let her take it from here.
Okay, please, please do, Melissa.
So what's the word? It's crop duster, right?
It could be.
It's crop duster. So I think we wound up getting lost on our way back. We did what we needed to do. Yeah, we were doing a little sightseeing because we got lost on our way back.
All right.
And we stopped to kind of check the GPS to figure out where we were going, and I'm looking down. Vehicle is stopped. We're not in motion. And all I hear is Sarge starts screaming. I look up and there is a crop duster. I'm telling you, it was inches. The way it looked, it was inches from us. And he had a complete meltdown. It was amazing.
I'm telling you, we're going to die today. We're going to die. Hold on. This is going to hit us.
Oh, it was great.
And then she laughed at me because I didn't know what it was called.
The crop duster?
Yes. I was saying the
dust cropper. For two years after that happened, he called it a crop duster, and it was great. I can't believe you did that.
I had to.
Thanks, Kev. Good looking out for me, man. Yes, I'm usually the brunt of those.
I know. I had to take it.
Thank you so much. Matt, how are we doing on time, sir?
We're doing well.
You've been well, Matt?
Doing great. I always enjoy listening to Lieutenant Rogers' stories. He's a frequent visitor in our office up there, and we always enjoy the stories he regales us with.
Yeah. Kev, if there's something that you could say to folks who are thinking about this job, or folks who are in the academy, new folks, what would you tell them?
I encourage everybody to do a ride-along, but more importantly, this job, you will be successful if you make a decision from your heart.
Okay.
If you make it through emotions, you have the possibility of being wrong. When I say emotions, whether it be fear, anger, or whatever, if you make it from your heart, you can justify it and you can explain it.
Very good. What do you do off duty? I mean, how do you decompress, you know, because you've been here 27 years. You have to do something, right? Or you wouldn't be coming in day after day after day.
I love going to Virginia Beach. I love the ocean. I will go to the ocean all the time. I love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, when you retire, you thinking about living near the ocean?
I think I'm as close as I can afford right now.
Cost of living?
Yes, sir. And then, you know, I like to ride my motorcycle.
What do you have?
I have a Harley.
Do you really?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's nice.
I used to enjoy the sport bikes, but as you get older, that leaning forward and hanging on makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, so you slow down a little bit?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Sit upright a little bit more.
Okay. Which model, for those who enjoy the Harley lifestyle, what model do you have?
I have what they call a Fat Boy.
Okay. So that's a cruiser.
Yes.
Now, have you been taking some nice trips?
No, I haven't. Not as much as I would like to.
You know, so short term.
Yeah, that's kind of not a bike that you can really tour on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
just now, Melissa, comfort. Are you a fan of motorcycles? No.
You have to put a helmet on, right? Absolutely not.
You don't want to mess up your
Absolutely
hair?
Not. Yeah. Not this one.
Yeah, I had a motorcycle when I was younger. I had a couple motorcycles. Actually, I wrecked one of my motorcycles. I was T-boned by a car. Spent a little time out of commission for a while. I had to have surgery. But
did you have a Vespa?
I did not have a Vespa when I lived in Italy, and I regret that. I regret it. I wish I did have a Vespa. So, but I do have a Fiat 500. So
you do.
So most men, they buy Porsches or Ferraris when they have midlife crisis. I ended up buying a Fiat 500.
A
so,
Fiat.
All right. So if you're okay with it, Melissa, shall we get into the fast five
I'll
questions?
I'll tell you, he was trying to get me to divulge what these were before we got started today, and I was not going to do it.
I think he's holding out on us on the Area 51 stuff, by the way, for the record.
I think there's more.
He knows a little more than that. Yeah. All right, here we go.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Drive through, take out, or sit down at a restaurant?
Sit down.
Okay. So you like take your time?
Yes. And people watch.
And
okay.
People.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'll sit there all day, just eat and watch people and laugh.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. All right, here we go. Best trip you've ever taken.
Best trip I've ever taken.
Yeah.
I would probably say down to Disney. You know, I've been overseas, and but my brother and I, we took the kids there, and Brian was young, and just seeing the excitement. I think for him it was. It made me happy.
Yeah. You love spending time with your son, don't you?
Yes, we're very close.
Yeah, I can tell that. There's a lot of love there. So, mm-hmm. What about you, Melissa?
Favorite trip?
Yeah. Didn't you go to Europe recently?
Don't keep reminding me. I got to get back over there.
Yeah.
I had a ball. Yes, I did London. I had a ball. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you see me and I'm gone, it's going to be your fault.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you keep bringing it up. It's going
to
be your fault.
All right. Yeah, for me, it was Italy with my wife. We got to spend 2 weeks together. It was unbelievably amazing.
So. A friend of mine is trying to talk me to go to Germany with her in February.
Yeah?
I have no interest.
No.
I've been there. You know, I've in the military.
Yeah.
Sure.
I've been to Germany, Ireland. You know, it's nice to visit.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go back.
I'll tell you, I love... traveling. I mean, I loved our trip to Italy, but coming back to the United States of America, I mean, I love the U.S. You know, I was born overseas, you know that. I love the United States of America. It truly is an outstanding country. I mean, I love when we came home and we landed in Washington, D.C., because we flew out of there. It was just a great feeling to be back home. You know, I was born in Italy. But America is home. It's just amazing. And when you travel, especially you in the military, because you've served outside of our country, you can appreciate it incredibly.
Yes. Right.
Beautiful country, America. Yep. Question number three. Here we go. Listen.
Least favorite food. And don't forget, we have done a lot of lunches.
I know, so I have to be. I'm just going to say seafood.
Period?
Yes.
Not a fan.
I don't eat it at all.
Wow.
Don't like it.
How about you, Melissa? You have a least favorite?
No. I
really?
Mm-mm.
For me?
I'm pretty good with much anything.
Broccoli and Brussels sprouts.
That's just because you haven't had them prepared for you, right?
Look, but this is what I told I was having a conversation with somebody. When you have to douse broccoli with cheese... It's not about the flavor of broccoli, okay?
That's
so
fair.
You can't say you like broccoli if you douse it with cheese.
It doesn't have to be cheese.
No.
That's fair, though.
Baseball, basketball, football, or hockey?
Baseball.
Are you a big fan?
Yes.
And let me guess, New York Yankees?
Oh, well, no. He took too long. He took too long.
Well,
I prefer the Yankees.
Okay.
Again, the family team is the Mets.
Okay.
We can understand that.
I was scouted by the Braves, and I no longer like the Braves.
Oh,
really?
So, yeah, they didn't pick me. So.
Oh.
So when were you scouted?
Yeah, from 18 to 20.
Really?
And then a shoulder injury, and then that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
So you must have been quite the ball player.
I was a pitcher for many years. Yep.
Fascinating. Wow. Interesting. We learned a lot about Kev today.
I know, right?
All right, number five, here we go.
If you could have one superpower for a day, what would your superpower be?
One? Just one?
Just one.
Maybe a mind reader.
Interesting. Mind reading.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I always wonder what somebody else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
Normally I'm a very quiet, reserved person. I just sit back and watch the room, and I just try to sit and watch and see where everybody's moving.
Right.
Try to figure out what they're thinking and what their next step is going to be. So, Interesting. I think I would enjoy that.
Nice.
Okay. Is there anything we missed, Kev, or anything you want to say?
No, it's just been a pleasure. I was a little nervous about coming out here initially, but yeah. You know, it's nice. It's
just a conversation.
Yeah,
right?
It really is.
Yeah, I think the lights, you know, intimidate me a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, it's okay.
But after a few minutes, you got over it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is an incredible platform. Melissa and I have often discussed it. It's an incredible platform for people to get to know. I mean, I know it's cliche to say this, but the person behind the badge, you know, because we really we are very, very alike. Not only within our organization, but outside. We're just human beings coming to work every day trying to do a job where we receive great fulfillment, and most importantly, we get a chance to help others. So we're not very different from anyone else.
No.
No.
You know, I always say the only difference that we have the same problems as everybody else. Yeah. We go home to the same issues. I hope the only difference is how we decide to handle that situation.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. You know, we all have the same exact issues.
Sure. No doubt.
It's just how we deal with it.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kev. Appreciate you very much. I know you have a tough job, but it's a necessary job. You know, we have to have checks and balances in law enforcement organizations. So thanks.
No, thank you for having me. And maybe we'll see you next time. Maybe I'll try it again at a later date.
Okay. Sounds good. And Melissa, we're on a whole bunch of platforms, aren't we?
We're everywhere. YouTube, Apple, Google.
Yeah, we're everywhere.
Anywhere you can type it in.
We're even on the City Channel. How about that? Yeah. And don't forget, folks, don't forget to push that like button if you enjoyed this show. We really appreciate y'all following us, and we have a good time doing it. Correct, Melissa?
We do.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Cheers, everyone.
You're welcome.